This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Stearin, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. By Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. Nokomis Tire and Auto Repair, a name you can trust. By Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Garrell's Auto Body in Litchfield. And by DC Waste and Recycling. And on this Saturday morning, we joined WSMI's Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much, and welcome to Sports Saturday here on the 16th day of September. And 4 weeks of the high school football season are in the books, and we had a couple of really entertaining matchups on the radio last night as Carlinville went into Pena, a battle of 3-0 teams. Cavies got the win 55-39, and David, you saw the whole thing. You had the call with Gary Boker last night on FM 106.
It lived up to the hype. It was as advertised. Very back and the defenses both had, you know, allowed an average of less than 20 points per game. I think Carlinville's was around 13, Pena's 14. And those got obliterated in the first quarter. I mean,
naturally.
Yeah. Very offensive game, very good game. And we also send our well wishes out to Panic quarterback Jacob Beeson, as he had a bad injury last night. I don't know what kind of injury it was or the extent of it, but he went down late in the game and was taken off in an ambulance, so we hope he's okay.
Absolutely, yeah. Thoughts and prayers out to Jacob and his family. That is obviously something that you never want to see, especially on a high school field. So Carlinville now is 4-0 and atop the South Central Conference all by themselves through 4 weeks. Hillsboro got back to 500 last night as they beat Staunton 35-20. That ball game was a lot closer than that final score. It was 21-13 toppers. Staunton had the ball in the second half, converted a 4th-and-17 on a flea flicker, but fumbled at the end of the play. Hillsboro recovered and really didn't look back after that. Nice win for Gillespie last night as they beat Roxana 27-24. Vandalia beat Litchfield 58-30, and it was Greenville over Southwestern by the final of 42-12. So the Carlinville Cavaliers are 4-0 on the year. Their only regular season loss last year was at home to Pena. They avenged that this year with a very impressive road win last night over the Pena Panthers, and Chad Easterday joins us on the phone right now. Good morning, Chad.
Good morning. How are you guys this morning?
Doing very well, and anytime you get a win, it's always a good win. But when you go into a place like Pena and perform like you guys did last night, that's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, we had a rough start. Not a rough start, but we had some problems there in the first half. Momentum swung about 3 or 4 different times. I was sweating by the time it was halftime was here. So, I thought our kids kept their composure really well.
Chad, when you're involved in a shootout early in a game like that, what goes through your mind? Do you just kind of accept the fact, okay, we're going to have to outscore them, or do you really think, okay, we need to buckle down defensively?
Well, our coaching staff, we obviously, first half there struggled with scheme a little bit. I thought Beeson is Beeson. He did a phenomenal job. The receivers were getting open and that type of thing in our terms of our game plan. So, to be honest, we were trying to survive the halftime, make sure we had the lead so we could get some adjustments made. And those adjustments can't come on the flyer with a 60-second timeout. So that was our thought process in the headsets. And our offense was moving the ball, and so we were trying to play that cat-and-mouse game of getting to halftime so we could make some adjustments.
Coach, I thought your defense did a fantastic job, specifically the defensive line, of shutting down the inside game. I mean, every time Pena ran up the middle, it was just a brick wall. They had nothing going offensively in the middle of the field.
Well, thank you. I tell you what, when you have an athletic kid like Beeson, you have to pick your poison on what you want to do. And we chose to play a little bit heavier of a box inside, some heavy D linemen in there, and force him to vertically throw the football down the field. Unfortunately, he did that a little bit more than I wanted in the first half, but we made some adjustments with some speed guys to match some speed at halftime. And that was the difference in the ball game, I believe.
And obviously, Chad Beeson then got seriously injured late in the ball game. From your perspective as the opposing head coach, how do you handle that with your kids? How do you mentally get them back in a mindset to go play football?
That's a tough one. One, when something like that happens, I think the reactions of everyone is all pure emotion. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to remind everyone that, you know, football can be that way, and we got a bunch of kids hustling and making plays and that sort of thing. So, you know, you just got to kind of keep in the moment, so to speak, and make sure that we're assignment-oriented, I guess is the word I'm looking for. So, you know, and we did that. So, you know, unfortunately, I did hear some good news that I don't think he's got anything broken or anything like that, I heard. So maybe he'll be back next week, which I hope for.
Yeah, we certainly hope so. And you guys got a bad injury report on a different type of level, but Daniel Card lost for the year.
Yeah, we did. Last week, Dan Card tore his ACL and his MCL. So his surgery is going to be next Friday. And, you know, we had to deal with that this week, just like they'll have to deal with some adjustments there. So I guess you find out what your team's made up. And as you said last week, you know, the next man up type philosophy works. And, you know, we hope Dan gets a speedy recovery, and we're hoping he can be back for track and that type of thing, because Dan plays three sports. Mm-hmm. And is good at all three of them. So we hope for the best for him.
And injuries like that are always devastating. But what happens to a senior kid who has put in the type of work that Daniel has, that's just crushing.
You're right. I mean, you know, that's it's one of those things you don't want to happen to anyone. And when it does, if it happens to a senior, it's even your heart just kind of melts for them, and make sure that that's, you know, it's just hard to go through.
Jed, it was funny. We kind of talked before the year, you know, at the start of the year. Like, you guys are still Carlinville, but it seemed like people thought, you know what, maybe this will be a year where potentially we might be able to get the Cavaliers on a given night. We better rethink that thought process, because through 4 weeks, you guys, you look like Carlinville.
That's a hard question to answer. I've used this statement 10,000. People are tired of probably hearing it, but every year you go through a face change. Mm. I'm not sure you change your identity, but you go through a face change and or a facelift or whatever you want. And, you know, losing the kids that we lost is was a loss to any program. And we totally like and love everything that they did. And we use the statement, they put their stamp on Carlinville football. So we challenge this year's group to put their stamp on Carlinville football. So through the first 4 weeks, we've done that. We were able to put some points up. We're spreading the ball around tremendously well on offense, I think. It's very difficult to defend us. You have to be ready for lots of different things and lots of different adjustments for us. So hopefully we're putting some pressure on our opponents, and hopefully we can keep that rolling.
Home next week to Roxana, and any given week in the South Central could be an upending situation, so you'll have your team ready to roll against the Shells, no doubt.
Yeah, you know, you're exactly correct. I think, you know, sometimes after a big game like this, we always talk about that trap week or that mm-hmm. trap game happens so much. So, you know, we'll have to focus and push through this week and make sure we're prepared and pretend like it's any other week.
Absolutely. Chad Easterday, congratulations on a great win last night, off to a 4-0 start. Best of luck next week, and we'll talk to you a week from today, sir.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, and that is just really sad news about Daniel Card. And we were at, Carl and I were at that game in Litchfield when that happened. It was at the very end of the first quarter, and, I mean, you could tell the young man was in a large amount of pain, and that is just really sad, and hopefully he can get back for track in the spring. And it was good to hear Chad say that he had heard positive reports on Jacob Beeson.
Yeah, I still don't know what the injury specifically was. I believe upper body of some sort. They obviously, at least out of precautionary measures, they put him on the board and stabilized his neck and head and put him in the ambulance.
And in that situation, you want the people to be overly cautious.
Right.
Hopefully that was just, you know, very overly precautious there. Hopefully that's what it was, but you always want to err on the side of caution.
Well, but you knew by, and it happened on the Pana sideline, you knew by the Pana players' reactions that it was, I mean, at the very least, he was lost for the game because, I mean, they were frustrated. You had players punching the ground in frustration, so you knew it didn't look good.
No, not at all. So hopefully Mr. Beeson can make a full recovery, and we certainly send our thoughts and prayers out to Daniel Card as well. Some other finals from week four last night in the Prairie State Conference. Nokomis beat Depot 35-7. South Fork over Pawnee 46-6, and Marquette shut out Wood River 47-0. In the Sangamo Conference last night, the Williamsville Bullets beat North Mac 56-12, and boy, Williamsville looks loaded up. for a great year this season. Athens, they beat Auburn 56-21. Auburn with the loss drops to 1-3. Mororo Forsyth barely beat Pleasant Plains last night, 21-13. New Berlin put a 50-burger on Pittsfield, 50-30. And then Porta beat Riverton, 30-7. In the WIBC last night in the Southern Division, Carrollton over Greenfield Northwestern, 39-0. Pleasant Hill beat Calhoun, 32-22. Winchester over North Green, 28-8. In the Northern Division, it was Beardstown, 48, Minden Unity, 8. Camp Point Central beat Triopia, 22-12. And Brown County over Jacksonville Route, 49-14. In the CS8 last night, Griffin over Chatham Glenwood, 42-0. Rochester all over Normal U-High, 44-7. Decatur-MacArthur beat Jacksonville, 49-13. Lanphier over Eisenhower, 34-33. And Springfield High shut out Southeast, 42-0. In the Apollo Conference last night, Taylorville beat Muhammad Seymour, 31-12. Effingham, 63-14 winners over Lincoln. And Mattoon beat Charleston, 41-24. That's kind of like a Hillsboro-Litchfield thing over there. In the Mississippi Valley, Highland over Jersey, 42-7. Triad beat CM, 46-8. And Muscoota over Waterloo, 31-19. Some other scores from around the state. Cerro Gordo beat Sangamon Valley, 31-6. Tuscola over Shelbyville, 47-44. Mount Zion shut out Macomb, 36-0. Central A&M beat Clinton, 28-18. The Edwardsville Tigers picked up their first win of the year, 52-7 over Granite City. Warrensburg Latham hangs 60 on Sullivan, a 60-6 final there. St. Teresa beats Macon Meridian, 58-28. Robinson over Casey Westfield, 33-20. Red Hill beat Newton, 42-31. And Anna Jonesboro in Nashville in a shootout. Anna Jonesboro, 71. Nashville, 41. One local game scheduled for today. South Mac. The Chargers will be at Madison. That game will be at 7 o'clock this evening. We need a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we'll catch up with Hillsboro head coach Aaron Duff and then North Mac coach Dan Carlson at the bottom of the hour on WSMI Sports Saturday.
9:18 on this Saturday morning, and back to Sports Saturday on WSMI FM 106, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins. Coming up this afternoon, Cardinal baseball from Wrigley Field, 210 today, AM 1540 and FM 106.9. And now the Cardinals, four games back, really find themselves in a got-to-win situation today and tomorrow. They need to find a way to get these two ball games and just be two back in the division when they get out of town by Sunday. Last night, the Illini were down in Tampa to play 22nd-ranked South Florida. It did not go well. South Florida won 47-23. That was their first win ever against a Big Ten school. Illini freshman Mike Epstein had a 46-yard touchdown run and a 21-yard touchdown reception from Jeff George Jr., who came in at the half to replace Chase Crouch. So Jeff George Jr. perhaps has begun his tenure as the Illini quarterback. Joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, Aaron Duff. And Duffy, good morning, sir.
Morning.
Well, that was a fun game last night in a lot of different ways. Very entertaining.
Yeah, it was a little stressful on a coach sometimes.
Now, Drake Payton, new addition to the club, and you wasted no time. Second play from scrimmage, he makes a great play for a touchdown.
Yep, yeah, Drake's going to add another level to us, being able to spread the ball out some more. Great athlete. He thought about coming out this summer, decided not to, and then right in the middle, about week one, he decided to come out. And, he had to get his 12 days of practice in with IHSA rules, so this was the first game he was eligible to play.
Duffy, when you're at a school like Hillsboro, where it's a smaller school and kind of the athletes do everything, how frustrating was it when you basically got one of the best athletes in the school finally decides to come out?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you want to try to get as many kids out as possible, but you got to leave it up to the kids, and it's their choice. But, I was very pleased when he came and talked to me, and our kids voted on it, and said, yeah, we'd love and have him on the team, and he's going to be a good addition to us.
Absolutely, and he really does open the field up for you guys in a lot of ways. Civitate throws such a nice deep ball, usually right on the money to those intended targets, but now all of a sudden you got your big backs, you got your speed back. You have maybe more options than you've had in your time at Hillsborough offensively.
Yeah, you know, we got Jordan Gregg, Dalton Deming, two tall receivers on the outside. Cole Zerusen is also a nice receiver on the outside. Now you have Drake, who has height and speed. We got a combination of some big backs and Gunnar Lentz, who's a quicker back. We're coming together. It's been a slower process than what I hoped, but our most inexperienced been our offensive line. They're all pretty much new guys except for Tester, and they're starting to gel. We've made a couple moves. Actually moved Liam Dugan from the line to fullback.
Yes.
So he's starting to gel up, and we haven't played a full four quarters yet, but we're working on it, and I think we're going to be okay.
You mentioned Liam Dugan. He looks like fullback is a very good position for him.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, he is a fullback. He was a tackle for a while for us until, you know, we developed another, lineman. It just had, Atlanta Moyes come up and, came back out for football this year, and he's starting to get there. So we mixed the backfield up, and now we can even rest a few guys with, you know, Drake there too.
Uh-oh. Auto disconnect. We'll see if we can get Duffy back on the phone there, regain connection as Hillsborough improved to 2-2 on the year with that win last night over Staunton. They won it 35-20. It was a different type of game. Hillsborough kicked off to start the game. They did one of those little mid-range pooch kicks. Staunton appeared to fall on top of it, but the ball squirted free. Toppers recovered, and then two plays later, they were into the end zone for the touchdown. They jumped out to a 21-0 lead before Staunton came back with 13 unanswered points, and then there was a stretch there in the fourth quarter. It's an 8-point game. Staunton facing 4th and 17. They pick it up with an end-around flea flicker. It was a beautifully designed play. They got the first down yardage, but the Bulldogs fumbled on the play. Hillsborough got on top of the football, and then they were able to go down, get a score, make it 28-13. Then they added a late touchdown as well to make it 35-13, and Staunton got a touchdown in the final minute for the final of 35-20. Duffy, are you back with us?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
It happens. Auto disconnect. The Telos didn't like what you were saying, I guess. Duffy, I was just describing late in that ball game is 21-13. Staunton kind of had stuffed you guys a little bit inside the 5-yard line a couple different times, so their defense kept them in the game. Then they run an end around flea flicker on 4th and 17, and ended up working out for you guys because you got the fumble on the back end of it.
Yeah, that was a nice setup play. You know, kudos to them. But we were fortunate enough to be there, you know, very close to it and pick up the fumble. We were inside the red zone three times that I think we should have, you know, continued the drives. One was a fumble, and that's what I'm talking about. That's gelling together and just finishing some things, you know, on some plays. But, you know, our kids, they're hanging with us. They're getting there. And, after that, we, sort of came back together and had good old, you know, Hillsborough football drive down the field, got up, and then, you know, we put one in late, you know, where they, you know, had 11 guys, almost 12 guys in the box on us, and we threw a pass late to get up, to, you know, to sort of seal the deal.
Absolutely. Your defense this year, the two games that I've seen you, you guys are hitting people.
Yeah, we are pretty physical. Our guys do hustle. That's the other, and you know, we talked about that this morning in film. We give effort. We give great effort. We're just still dealing with the few discipline issues of getting in the right spot, doing your job, staying focused for four quarters. And, you know, that's sort of our, this past week, my main two words were discipline and focus. And we got better at it. We're still not there yet. But yeah, we will play physical football.
You love big hits, Duffy, but maybe part of you, the way the game ended last night, the game was not in question anymore. The outcome is decided. And I think it was Gunnar Lentz destroyed the ball carrier on the last play, but then he was down in the field for a little while. Does part of you wish, okay, Gunnar, it's the last play. We take it easy.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really get that out of a kid, you know, you can't. It just built in him to go after him. The only thing we talked about this morning, we watched it this morning, was his technique on it. You know, use more of a shoulder than, you know, the old noggin there down low. But you know, effort, we'll take that all day. You know, if a kid makes a mental mistake, at least do it 100%, 100 mile an hour.
Absolutely. And you guys got Gillespie coming into town next week for homecoming, so it'll be a fun week for Hillsboro.
Yeah, but not a fun week for the kids.
Yeah, right, not for you.
Yeah. You know, then that's that key word of focus. We've got all this extra stuff. You know, I told the kids this morning, every game on this, on your schedule, it's a playoff game. If you want to get there, you got to treat every game as a playoff week.
And I thought that that game last night for both you and Staunton, in a lot of ways, was a playoff game. You start looking at that game there, big difference between a win and a loss last night.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, we played Gillespie this coming week, who, you know, just beat Roxanna, you know, put up as many points as we did against Roxanna. You know, it's going to be a battle. And then we got two big ones coming up in a row with Payne and Greenville. So, you know, we got to take care of business week by week.
Absolutely. Duffy, we always appreciate your time on Saturday morning, sir. Congratulations on the win last night, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right. Aaron Duff, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, and kind of getting back to the old school vintage Hillsboro type of team where they are hitting people, physical, swarming to the football. A lot of fun to watch right now with the Toppers.
You can also tell the level of confidence continues to rise, and the attitude is changing. Not that it was ever bad, but
I know what you mean.
It's a different attitude over there in Hillsboro now.
Even though they lost the first two games to Carlinville and Vandalia, I think they came out of those two games with confidence, feeling good about where they were at, what they were trying to accomplish, because obviously Carlinville, top of the conference, Vandalia expected to be right there at the end of the year. And when you can basically go toe-to-toe with those two teams to start your year, you have to, I mean, obviously would have loved to have won one or both of those games, but they were 0-2. It was a great 0-2, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. They were a good 0-2.
Yeah, and they've proven that they can play with basically anybody in the conference, perhaps anybody in this area of the state, so that'll serve them well come playoff time.
It absolutely will. So coming up next week, we will have Greenville at Litchfield. That'll be one of our broadcast features next week on FM 106. You mentioned homecoming week in Hillsboro for the Toppers. They'll welcome Gillespie into town. Carlinville will be hosting Roxanna next week. Pena is at Staunton. We'll see if Jacob Beeson is able to go next week for the Panthers. And Southwestern, they will host Vandalia coming up in week 5. In the Prairie State Conference next week, South Mac will be at South Fork. South Mac, though, they still have to play tonight. They'll play Madison in their week 4 matchup this evening. Coming up next week, Alton Marquette will be at Pawnee. Wood River will be at Dupo. In the Sangamo Conference next week, we will have North Mac at Auburn live at 7 o'clock here on FM 106. The Panthers will go in 3-1, Auburn 1-3. Athens will be at Pittsfield. Maroor Forsyth will host Porta. New Berlin will be at Riverton. And Pleasant Plains, they will travel to Williamsville. In the WIVC South next week, Pleasant Hill at Greenfield Northwestern. North Green will be at Calhoun. Carrollton will host Winchester. In the WIVC North, Beardstown at Camp Point Central. Minden Unity will be at Brown County. And in non-conference play next week, Nokomis will host Metro East Lutheran. In high school volleyball last night at the New Berlin tournament, Lincolnwood won a pair of matches. They beat Greenfield Northwestern in two, 25-21, 25-17. And then the Lancers beat West Central 25-12, 25-20. So coming up today, lots of tournaments around the area. Hillsboro headed to the Vandalia tournament. Lincolnwood and North Mac headed back to the New Berlin tournament. Staunton will be at the Belleville East tournament. And Southwestern will be at the Granite City tournament. And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the North Mac Panthers, Dan Carlson. And coach, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir.
Hey, no problem. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Well, it was a rough one for your Panthers last night. I guess my first question is, how good is Williamsville?
You know, I think that, you know, they're no doubt about it. They're a great football team. They're very well coached. You know, they've got a lot of great athletes. But, you know, I think personally, and I think that you've kind of seen it in a couple of different games now, is that hype factor that they have, is that intimidation factor that, you know, that all the media sources bring around them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that personally, you know, we talked about it as a staff last night. I think that in and of itself killed us right there. You know, them getting that that first goal on the very first play, you could just see it in our kids' eyes that, oh, they are exactly what the media says that they are. And I think that that was a little bit of an intimidation factor for us. I think that that was the way with Maroa, you know, with that sophomore quarterback that didn't by far did not play his best game. But, you know, I think that that's one of the big things that they have in their pocket right now is that intimidation factor and that hype factor, if you will.
Yeah, and that can go a long way in a sporting event, no question about it. So you guys get down early. I mean, the final was 56-12, so it obviously didn't go the way you wanted. But how did you feel your kids competed after getting down early on that first play?
You know, there were definitely some frustrating points in the fact that, you know, again, that, you know, they had so many of those kids that, you know, you got to watch out for this kid or you got to watch out for that kid. You got to, you know, do this with this kid here or that. And so, you know, we panicked a little bit. You know, we kind of got down on ourselves and, you know, we kind of folded a little bit. And you know, we have a word of the week and, you know, belief in ourselves and kind of the belief kind of got taken out of us a little bit. You know, we kept fighting, though. We kept grinding the entire time. You know, Jake Moline, our quarterback, you know, he kept throwing himself into the fire. That's for sure. No doubt about it. No question in my mind about that, though. So, you know, I was proud of the way that, you know, we kept fighting. You know, you wish you never have to be put into that position, but, got a lot to improve on, you know, so.
Yeah, and Dan, sometimes when there's a lopsided score, as a coach, you'll say, you know what, let's just forget about it and move on. But I get the sense that you want your kids to remember this feeling and remember what happened.
You know, that's one thing is that, you know, we're focused on Auburn right now, and we had a nice chat with our kids this morning that, you know, bullies. And, you know, we come to that point in time now, in which case this is going to just, I think that this game is going to define our season in the sense that we can rise from this and we can rise above it and we can learn from our mistakes and learn that we need to focus on us and not focus on them and the hype that surrounds another team. And that if we do our stuff, then we'll be fine or we're going to crumble, in which case, you know, we'll see some infighting happen. But, you know, I thought we had a great productive meeting with our kids today. You know, we were very positive. They were very, you know, after we had a conversation, they were very positive leaving the locker room that, you know, we're hungry. You know, we're still in the driver's seat for a lot of our goals. You know, we're still, we can still make the playoffs. We can still make a run in the playoffs. You know, the only thing that we're not really controlling at this point in time is being conference champion. So, you know, come a few weeks from now, I might be the biggest, Athens fan on the face of the earth. So, you know, hopefully we can, you know, the best we can look for is a three-way tie. But, you know, that's one thing is we lost the driver's seat and we need to focus on what we can control, and that's making the playoffs and making a playoff run.
Well, and that will...
Hopefully we'll see Williams go in the playoffs, and, you know, I think that we'll refocus and we'll come out and we'll, you know, lose that hype around them and focus on us.
You guys got a big game coming up this week. You mentioned Auburn, and this is real. This is a great rivalry over the years, ever since you guys got into the Sangamo Conference. And Auburn's 1-3, but I don't know, Dan. To me, they're almost like a caged animal right now.
You know, and that's, you know, we had that conversation. Is that, yeah, they're 1-3, but, you know, they're fighting for their lives. They're fighting for their playoff lives. They've got a tough road ahead of them, and you know, they know that. And we can't sleep on them. You know, this is a team that, you know, we could be 8-0, and they could be 0-8, and they're going to give us the fight of their lives just because it's a rivalry game. And you know, we need to focus on cleaning up those fundamentals that we messed up, because, you know, they don't care what the score is. They don't care what the record is. This game right here is the true sense of a rivalry game. Does not matter the records. Does not matter the kids. The skill. The hype, whatever. This is going to be a great game, and you know, hopefully we'll learn from our mistakes this week and last week, and we'll move forward. So,
sounds great. We will have North Mac Auburn live next Friday night here on FM 106 and online at WSMIRadio.com. Dan Carlson, thank you so much for some of your time here this morning. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Have a good one, guys.
All right, you too. Dan Carlson, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers. And, David, I thought that was a very interesting point that Coach Carlson made about kind of the aura around Williamsville right now. That's a real thing. I mean, I think of, like, Nokomis basketball, like, back in the day. it was 10 points before they got off the bus. I mean, certain teams just carry that with them where the opponent knows, you know what? We are going to have to be pretty close to perfect to be in this ball game tonight. And you see what Williamsville did to Maroro Forsyth last week, you know, Dan, talking about the young quarterback that Maroro had, maybe got caught up in some of that. So that's a real thing. Some people may think, oh, that type of stuff doesn't matter. Oh, it matters.
Yeah, it does. If you look at a team like Greenville in the South Central Conference during their run, they projected the same aura. Carlinville, you could make the case, has done that as well. So, I mean, yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
Teams get down before the game has even started.
Yeah, certain teams just have that feel to them to where you know when they show up, you might be in trouble.
Yeah.
And this Williamsville team, this will be very interesting to see where they go from here. You know, they blew out Maroro Forsyth. They took care of North Mac. I mean, they look like they might just be loaded to bear. But I love the fact that North Mac says, we want to see him again.
Yeah.
That's great.
That absolutely it is, and that's the attitude you want. And it'll be very interesting to see if they do match up again. I would imagine they'll be in the same class in the playoffs should both teams make the playoffs. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
And, you know, from the North Mac perspective, they have to take it one game at a time. They can't jump ahead. But fortunately for us, we don't have to take it one game at a time. We
absolutely
can jump ahead. That's what we do. North Mac's going to be a playoff team.
Yeah,
the result last night is meaningless from that standpoint. They're going to be a playoff team.
Yeah, they are. Williamsville's going to also because they've got four wins.
They're going to be in, David.
Yeah, Carlinville's going to be in. Dana's going to be in.
Yeah, they won't be sweating on points.
Yeah, they'll be okay.
They'll be fine. They'll be fine. This is WSMI Sports Saturday here on FM 106. Let's look at some boys golf from yesterday at Shoal Creek and Raymond. Hillsboro beat Lincolnwood, North Mac, and Auburn. The topper shot a 155. Lincolnwood shot a 175. North Mac and Auburn both shot 189s. The medalist was Hillsboro's Alex Eichhoff. He fired a 37 yesterday. The toppers today at the Windsor Invitational and the co-ed MSM Conference Golf Tournament will be held today at Indian Springs. Boys soccer yesterday, Lincolnwood beat Springfield Lutheran 1-0. Coming up today, a few matches around the area. Carlinville will host Greenville. Roxana travels to Vandalia and North Mac will entertain Lebanon. In volleyball yesterday at the New Berlin Tournament, Lincolnwood beat Greenfield Northwestern and West Central. Coming up today, Hillsboro's in the Vandalia Tournament, Lincolnwood and North Mac at the New Berlin Tournament, Staunton at the Belleville East Tournament, and Southwestern will be at the Granite City Tournament. Coming up tonight, South Mac will be in action for their Week 4 ball game as they will be on the road at Madison. It's a non-conference affair. That game will kick off at 7 o'clock this evening in Madison. Of course, South Mac coming off of a win over Pawnee last week. They are 2-1 on the young season. Cardinal baseball today, 210, AM 1540, and FM 106.9. Game 2 of 3 from Wrigley Field in Chicago, live this afternoon at 210 on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. We're going to take a break here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We'll come back in a moment.
9:40 on this Saturday morning, and back to Sports Saturday, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins, and we're happy to be joined on the phone right now by Paul Watson, the head coach of Nokomis. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing very well, and hey, a football coach is always better on a Saturday after a nice W on a Friday night.
Yeah, they are.
Tell us a little bit about your game last night. 35-7 was the final over Dupo. Give us a couple of the highlights.
We come out pretty sluggish in the first half. That's the first time we've been down there, and that's quite the bus ride down to Dupo.
Yeah, no good way to get there.
No, there's not. And it seemed like our kid stepped off the bus and just wasn't mentally prepared to get on the field. But we had a pretty good game second half there. We ended up with over 400 yards of offense, so I was pleased with that.
Paul, as you look at your team now through 4 weeks, how would you assess it?
Well, you know, you look at our two losses, which is to St. Teresa, who it doesn't matter how many times we play them, we're going to lose. And then we played Dalton Marquette, and I thought we battled pretty good, about three or four plays there. If we could have those back, I think it'd be a different outcome.
And, I mean, And that's an impressive statement because Alton Marquette has been very good this year. So it has to make you feel good about your club that you can go against a team like Marquette and then say and feel, you know what, a few plays really did make the difference. It wasn't just a total blowout situation.
Right. You know, we got good senior leadership, that, and this group of seniors has been starting since their sophomore year. So, they're hungry. They're wanting to make playoffs, and it's showing.
And when you have a group of seniors that are three-year starters in football, not only is that rare, but my goodness, is it beneficial?
Yeah, it is. A couple of them, Braden Sobel, Ben Martley, they've been playing since their freshman year, so on the varsity level. So they've taken their lumps along the way, but like I said, they're stepping up, and we preach about our playoff signs that's on the fence, and they want their own sign. So
absolutely. Ben Marley, he's put together quite the career. He has racked up some big time defensive numbers.
Yeah, he is. He's which I haven't checked here the last couple weeks, but he's probably getting close to breaking the school record in tackles, so which quite a feat in itself. He's Bud Foster's actually the one that holds the record.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys are home next week to Metro East Lutheran. What do you know about the Knights?
Well, it's Madison.
My schedule's wrong.
Yeah, we had Metro, and then when they weren't for sure if they were going to have their schedule or not when Madison, they couldn't co-op with Madison. So they dropped out, and we picked up Madison.
Well, they're playing South Mac tonight, so will you send someone down to scout that ball game?
We're actually talking about that this morning. I've got JFL game over at Macon, and we're just going to talk to a couple of the coaches and see if anybody wants to head down that south. I know we just were down in that area last night till about 11 o'clock, so we haven't really decided yet.
I don't blame if you don't want to go back.
Right.
Paul Watson, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir, and good luck next week against Madison.
All right, thanks for calling, guys. Take care.
Paul Watson, the head coach of Nokomis, coming off that nice win over Duple last night, 35-7. Once they put 255 in, it got a little easier to get there, David, but before 255 was around, like, you had to take, like, a ferry, and then hop on, like, a canoe, catch a biplane, horseback for a few miles, and then you're almost there.
Maybe take in a Grizzlies game while you're down there.
That's right.
Visit the quarry. The school's right down the street from the quarry, I think.
Hey, always good times at the quarry.
That's right. Throw rocks if you want to. Into the quarry.
Well, of course.
Throw the rocks into the quarry.
Yes. Yes, that's what you want to do.
Right. Yeah. Lots can be done. Go see a race. There's a Gateway Center down there or whatever.
You've been there?
It's called. The track? No, I have not. I've been to GCS Stadium, but yeah.
When you go there, you got to get the Luther. Absolutely.
Yeah. Didn't know about it the first time I went there. I was a kid. Second time I went there, I played there in high school. Played baseball. And third, I actually spent my bachelor party there. So, pretty cool.
Nice.
Didn't get the Luther, though.
Ah, you missed out there. But
it's all carpet, the field is. It's interesting. Even the dirt, it's all carpet. So, fast ground balls.
I bet. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We still plan on catching up with Zachary Ferguson, the head coach of the Staunton Bulldogs. We will do that just past the top of the hour here on WSMI Sports Saturday.
Back to Sports Saturday on WSMI FM 106.1, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins, and do want to give a little update on Terry Tote. We got some very positive news yesterday, probably the best report we've gotten from his wife, Brenda. It was 3 weeks ago yesterday that he had his initial surgery, and the report we got yesterday, very good, all sorts of positive signs coming out of the last couple of days for Terry. He's in Memorial Hospital at Springfield. So if you would like to send him a card or some well wishes, you can do that. Just send it to Memorial Hospital in Springfield, and they will make sure that it gets to the appropriate room. But plus days being stacked together for Terry Tote in his recovery. So we are certainly so happy to hear that. But he's still got a long way to go, so please continue to keep him in your thoughts and prayers. But the report we got yesterday was the most positive one we've gotten to date, so hopefully those can keep rolling in for Terry. Cardinal baseball for you today from Wrigley Field. We'll have that at 2:10 on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. Cardinals kind of fell apart yesterday in, what, the sixth inning as they entered with a 2-1 lead, and they left with an 8-2 deficit as they could just not get out of their own way in that sixth inning. Highly entertaining game yesterday, though. You had a vintage John Lackey blow-up, and you can't really blame the man for being as mad as he was. As Martinez was up, took a breaking ball basically right down the middle for strike three. The Cubs are walking off the field. Martinez takes three steps towards the Cardinal dugout before everyone realized, oh, hey, the umpire called that a ball. So Lackey's hot. He's screaming at the umpire. Of course, the next pitch, base hit into right field, run scores. And as the run is coming home, John Lackey is charging the umpire like he's going to spear him in a WWE match. And the umpire, I'd never seen this, threw him out while the play was still going on. I don't even know if that's legal. Can you legally toss a player from the game when the play is still active? What if the ball would have gotten away? John Lackey's been tossed out of the game. Can he go retrieve the ball? Can he tag someone out if he's been thrown out of the game? I don't know the ruling on that, but it was certainly an odd situation yesterday with John Lackey getting thrown out in the middle of a play.
Yeah, I don't know what would have happened if maybe he would have fielded the ball at home
What's
plate
the
as
ruling?
Illegal. I don't know. Terry would probably know. I don't.
Terry would most definitely know. My instinct is that the umpire, it's not legal to throw someone out when the play is still going on. So that would be my assumption, that the ejection wouldn't actually take effect until after the play was over.
Well, and probably so. And remember, this happened to the Cardinals a couple of years ago at Wrigley. Yachty got thrown out in the middle of the play while it's still happening in a double that was hit to right center field. And he turned around immediately after the ball was hit and got thrown out pretty much. So, I mean, it's happened before. But, yeah, I don't know the actual rule if you're able to field the ball or if once you touch it, it's delay of game or what the rule is.
Must win for the Cardinals today.
Yeah. Yeah, really. I mean, every series from here on in the last, 2 weeks and this weekend are must-win series. Definitely have to win today. You can't afford to be 4 games out or more at the end of this series if you want any chance at the division, probably even the postseason. So, I mean, you gotta win today. You gotta win tomorrow. And I think Tuesday, I think they're off Monday, so they're playing the Reds again in Cincinnati. So you got to win every series from here on out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the sad reality is the Cardinals have done this to themselves with the way that they've played through the first really 5 months of the year. I mean, they've been better in the second half than they were in the first half, but they're so fundamentally flawed, and that hasn't changed. You know, they've changed some players here. They changed some of the coaches earlier in the season. But when push comes to shove, the Cardinals are terrible fundamentally.
Yeah, they've been better in September than they've been all season. I mean, well, the last few days of August leading in September is when they've actually really played their best baseball. And you can't say that if they miss the postseason, you can't say that they deserve to make the postseason or they should have made the postseason based on, you know, what they did in September because, whatever, 4 or 5 months of bad baseball, you know, preceded that. So, yeah, if they missed the playoffs.
The previous year.
Yeah, if they missed the playoffs, then they deserve to miss the playoffs for how they played this year.
They'll have no one to blame but themselves.
Exactly.
The Cubs allowed them to hang around when they really shouldn't have been.
They're lucky to be where they are
right now.
Because, I mean, if they would have played their best baseball, played like this all season, there's a chance they'd be 10 games up in the division.
Well, as we start looking ahead to the National League playoffs, I'm just going to assume that the Cubs are going to win the division because they are the best team and they are playing really good baseball right now.
At the very least, I think they're going to make the playoffs. The Cubs will.
Don't the Cubs have to be the favorite in the National League to win the pennant?
I would say so.
I mean, Harper's still not back for the Nationals, I don't believe. So by the time if he is able to come back, he's not going to be anywhere close to midseason form. The Dodgers, they're October choke artists. You don't got to worry about them one bit. I mean,
I think the Nationals are the same way. I don't, even with Harper, I don't consider the Nationals a real threat in the National League. They've never gotten out of the first round.
It's true.
I mean,
you'll get no argument from me on that. And Dusty Baker's their manager, so
right.
He'll mess something up.
Right. When have they ever shown the ability to come up big in the postseason? The Nationals.
Well, 2012 was their year.
Yeah, and they
decided to rest Strasburg.
This is true. This is true. Well, even then, they had a 6-0 lead in Game 5.
Yes, they did.
Couldn't do it.
They did. But and you're exactly right about not being able to trust the Nationals in the playoffs. But the Dodgers, I don't know, it just seems like the Dodgers, they're a more historic organization. So they've got more historical pressure on them, I would say, because they haven't won since 1988. I don't think they've been in the World Series since 1988. And they've had such epic playoff fails with the perceived shortcomings of Clayton Kershaw. Now, granted, most of that has just been against the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. But if the Dodgers, the Nationals have a built-in excuse this year with Harper getting hurt.
Right.
The Dodgers have no built-in excuse. They rolled through 5 months of the year, and basically as soon as the calendar hit September, they disappeared.
Yeah. It's interesting because Clayton Kershaw, how long has he been in the league? Almost 10 years now?
My gosh, really?
I think he debuted in 2008, so
wow.
He didn't pitch a full season, but it's nearing 10 years, which is hard to believe in itself. But throughout that run, you hear about these great baseball players to never win a ring or never get in the World Series. And most of the time, those players, I mean, they don't even make the playoffs or they're on bad teams or whatnot. Clayton Kershaw's been on some really good teams. For him to not have a ring, that says a lot about what the Dodgers have done in the postseason during his tenure.
There's going to be so much pressure on them these playoffs. If they come up short this year, they might just blow that whole club up.
Yeah, I mean...
Not the whole club, but they would make some pretty substantial changes, most likely.
It's either their GM or their president. I don't remember what position he holds right now. It's Andrew Friedman, who was the Rays general manager when the Rays were at their peak of player development. They've done a really good job of developing young players again, so I could easily see it. I mean, he's a guy I would trust to develop young players, so if they wanted to blow it up, they could do it and have success in the future, but it'll take some time.
Talk about going from the mailroom to the penthouse.
Is Kershaw even 30 years old?
Boy, if he is, he's just right there.
Yeah.
But he had no money to work with in Tampa Bay. Now he has basically a Brinks truck to work with in Los Angeles.
And he hasn't needed it.
He's
getting it done with young players.
No, that's exactly right. This is WSMI Sports Saturday here on FM 106. We'll have the Cards and Cubs today on Wrigley Field 210, AM 1540, and FM 106.9. Our broadcast from last night, Carlinville, Pena, Hillsboro, Staunton, those both have been podcasted and they are posted online right now at WSMIRadio.com. Here's a little interesting note. Remember a few weeks ago the Yankees turned the Red Sox in for using an Apple Watch to steal signs. Well, the Sox have now been fined by Major League Baseball for using said Apple Watch to steal those signs against the Yankees last month. Rob Manfred, the commissioner, said that Boston's owners and front office had no advance knowledge of what had occurred. And then the Yankees were fined a lesser amount for improper use of a dugout telephone, but Manfred found insufficient evidence to support an allegation by Boston that the Yankees made inappropriate use of the Yes Network against the Red Sox. This is just another reason to be highly annoyed by the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Yeah.
I mean, what is this, junior high?
Yeah, apparently. Cheating's part of the game, but to what extent?
Well, once you get electronic devices involved.
Stealing signs is part of the game, I should say, but to what extent?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, if you're doing it with just a human element, hey, that's fine.
On the field.
Right.
On the field, yeah.
Yeah. But you can't have a grounds crew member with an Apple Watch standing in the outfield.
I would even say you can't have a guy with binoculars in the outfield doing it from the stands either.
Well,
it's got to be out from the field.
Right. But once you have binoculars, it's no longer a human element.
I guess you're right.
Like, what I'm saying is just purely the runner at second base. Mm-hmm. If he's getting your signs and you're not smart enough to stop it or figure it out, that's on you.
It's true.
And of course, you know, there's been lots. We were talking about Kershaw and the playoff struggles. There's been rumblings that maybe the Cardinals were getting signs off of Kershaw in some of those playoff starts. And if they were, shame on the Dodgers for not figuring it out.
Harold Reynolds said it during 2014 NLDS Game 1. He said, between the Cardinals and the Dodgers, whenever the Cardinals came back from down 6-1, he said he was convinced the Cardinals were stealing the signs, and at that point, it was on the Dodgers for not mixing their signals up.
I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, for all the mound visits that teams make, for all the times they're switching signs, that's on you.
Yeah. This is true. Hey, that was Gary Boker who he just called in. He had a couple things. First, the report from Jacob Beeson from Payne's practice that he's just sore. Nothing is broken this
morning.
Excellent. So, just sore. Second thing, he said he's sure Madison does not have lights and that it is a 1 o'clock afternoon start today against South Mac. That's also what some of the STL media has as well. So it sounds like South Mac and Madison, 1 o'clock start today, not a night game because Madison does not have lights, it sounds like.
Well, there you go. So. My schedule said 7.
Okay.
But
your schedule also said Metro East Lutheran next week.
Sorry, are you saying my schedule might be a little out of date?
You might
want to
go recheck
things. Yeah, I probably should. So South Mac, Madison, afternoon kickoff today. Kind of need lights if you're going to play at night. That would be helpful.
Yeah.
Beneficial.
Yeah, it would be.